this evening, Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. It's a fascinating story. And I think one that you're going to hear a twist on tonight, make you stop and wonder about some things. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. I hope everybody had a good day. We went out to eat for lunch today and then went out and did some visiting this afternoon. Brittany came down with a pretty severe headache, and so we left her asleep on the couch when we came back to church. So do remember her in your prayers. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When God heals, there is no learning curve. Do you know this man was lame, crippled from his mother's womb? He never learned to walk, much less jump. But when he was healed, when the strength came back to his legs and his ankles, and he was brought up to his feet, he was leaping and walking. This man never, he's one person that never had to learn to walk. Now I figure Adam and Eve never had to learn to walk. I figure they knew how to walk the day God made them because they were made full grown. But here's the only other fellow beside Adam and Eve that I could think of in the scripture that didn't have to learn how to walk. He was crippled from his mother's womb. When God heals, he heals completely. There's a strong message about our sins. When God forgives, he forgives completely. That's a powerful and encouraging message. That's not the point I want us to note tonight. That's just something I wanted you to think about. But The scripture says in the last verse, in verse 10, it says, then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Have you ever seen anything that just surprised you? Just amazed you? There have been lots of beautiful things in this world that amaze us, but to be filled with wonder like this. Anybody here ever watch the show 60 Minutes? The news broadcast that came on for years and years. It's still on today. They've got a whole new cast of news staff. But most of you, I'm sure, have heard of it. And I imagine most all the older folks have watched it at least once or twice. And some probably never missed it. For those who haven't, it is a news program with investigative reports on events and issues that affect American life. Okay? Very interesting stuff. But there was a guy on that program that ended the program every week. His name was Andy Rooney. Now, if you don't know the term curmudgeon, if you look it up in the dictionary, a picture of Andy Rooney will be in the dictionary beside that definition. A curmudgeon is like an old grouch. He's always finding something to complain about. And it's not necessarily evil or bad or anything. He's just kind of, why is it like this? And so, but he often brought up things that made you think. And many times he would start out his segment with a question. Did you ever wonder? Do you remember that now? Did you ever wonder? He had kind of a high-pitched voice. Did you ever wonder? Tonight I want to ask that question myself. You know, there's a lot of big box stores around Athens. A lot of interesting places to shop in the area around where we live. What's your favorite place to shop? One of my favorite places is Lowe's, I'll just tell you. Faye and I, when we have a date night, a lot of times we'll go to Lowe's and walk around. I'm married to a fine woman, I'll tell you. But I love that store. It's full of all kinds of neat stuff, neat gadgets and tools and supplies. And it's just, oh, I just absolutely love going to Lowe's. Well, when you go to your favorite store, do you spend all your money? Do you spend everything you have? I know we make jokes. Well, he's spending everything we got, or she's spending everything we got. But do you ever actually do that? Do you ever spend everything you've got where you have nothing left? Have you ever done that? Spent everything just to blow it on the latest and greatest gadget? All right, so here's a scenario for you. All you've got is $100, and I mean that's it. That's all you have. I'm not talking cash. I'm talking that's all you own in the world. $100. Now, payday is still 3 or 4 days away. You got $100 to live on. And this thing that you really want, and I mean you really, really want it, is $20. You've got $100 to live on. But this thing costs $20. That's one-fifth of what you have. Would you buy it? Would you buy it? The price isn't really all that bad, and I really, really want it. Would you buy it? In Matthew 13, verse 45 and 46, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Oh, that's a fellow that wanted it so badly, he was willing to give up everything else that he had, all the rest of his collection altogether. All the beautiful pearls that he had acquired, all the wealth he had acquired, he was willing to give that up to get this pearl of great value, of great price, this beautiful pearl. Is that sort of the way it is? You have this thing that you really want. Got to have it. So here's my question. Did you ever wonder why $20 seems so little to us when we're shopping and so huge when you put it in the collection plate at church? Did you ever wonder? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. We'll be talking more about that in a few weeks. Here's another one to think about. Let's talk about your best friend in the whole wide world. Who's that? Who's your best friend in the whole wide world? Maybe it's your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband, or somebody you just grew up with that's just your best friend in the whole wide world. Is it hard to strike up a conversation with them? No, it's easy. Let's face it, there's really nothing you can't or don't talk about with somebody that's that close to you. And you don't have to think up something like you would with a stranger on an elevator. Isn't that one of your favorite things to do? Be on an elevator with somebody and you just kind of stare at each other for 6 floors or 7 floors. What do you say? Sometimes, I'll just throw this on the side, sometimes I get on an elevator, going to go up 3 floors. We get almost to the 3rd floor and I'll ask them, you know why people don't have long conversations on elevators? And the door will open and I'll say, you're now finding out why. And I walk out. I know, I'm a smart aleck. But you know, it's hard to come up with something to say to somebody. It's a total stranger, isn't it? Or maybe it's somebody that you had in a relationship with years ago, a school friend or someone like that, and you see them years and years later, and you can talk with them about some memories and everything for a few minutes, you can catch up, and then there's that awkward silence. Kind of weird, a weird moment. What do you say now? And so you say bye and you go your separate ways. Well, let me just put it this way, with somebody that you're really close to, you can talk to them easily. It just comes natural. On the 3rd day after his crucifixion, Jesus rose from the grave. And in Luke 24, 13 through 15, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. They talked together of all these things which had happened. Now, obviously, these guys had something big to talk about, didn't they? You know, they could talk all day. But do you suppose they had any difficulty thinking of something to say? Well, I know. So here's my question. Did you ever wonder why we can talk all day to our friends, but praying for 30 minutes is almost impossible for most folks? Did you ever wonder about that? In Luke 11, 1, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. And you know what? Jesus taught them to pray. You look at the prayers of Jesus. You read the prayers that Paul prayed. Prayer is simply opening up to God. It's not repeating a series of words or phrases, memorized thoughts and platitudes. It's cute things to say or habitual things to say. Prayer is opening up to God. We talk about opening a can of worms. You open that can of worms with God. That's what you do. That's what we're supposed to do. But why is it so tough? When we know that God already knows everything about us, let me tell you what I think. I think we sometimes have a hard time praying because we really don't want to admit the truth about ourselves. We don't want to see ourselves the way God sees us. We don't want to see the weakness, the ugliness of sin. The lack of faithfulness. We don't want to see that. And we don't want to have to admit that to ourselves or to God. But when we are willing to be honest about our weaknesses and our sinfulness, prayer will become a much more natural thing. Now, when you get in trouble, you can find a way to pray, but it's all about, you know, Lord, help me get out of this. But I'm talking about on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes our prayers are kind of hard to come. We need to really think hard about God sees us already. We need to admit the truth about ourselves. We are weak and imperfect humans. We are trying. We are committed to doing the will of God, but we are weak and imperfect. And we need to be willing to admit that to ourselves and to God. For my next thought, I'd like for you to think about, magazines and reading. I like my woodworking magazines. I have dreams. I have plans. I have ideas of things that I would like to make with my hands. I love woodworking. I'm not good at it. I've got a lot to learn. But I love it. And those magazines that come in, I just can't wait. And they come in and I'm just reading those things, digesting them from cover to cover. Just making plans, getting ideas together of what I want to do. Well, I also admit that I've grown to really like mystery novels. And then there's Westerns and science fiction and history. In fact, I guess I like a wide assortment of literature. I just kind of eclectic. I just have all kinds of things that I'm interested in. Has anyone read all of the Harry Potter books? Anybody read them all? Yeah, a couple of folks. All right. I've been told, I haven't read any of them yet, but I've been told that they grab you and you don't want to put them down. Now, that's what I've been told. It was that way with me with that book, Muscle and the Shovel. I started reading that. I didn't want to stop. It was just so fascinating. And that's the way it is with some literature. It just grabs us and it doesn't want to let us go. It's that way if we're really interested in something. We can read it. Reading is one of my favorite things to do. And regarding the time when Israel would have a king, God said that the king was to make a copy of the law of Moses for his own use. In Deuteronomy 17:19, and it shall be with him, that, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. He is to have that and read it and make sure he knows it so that he can follow it. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here's the question. Did you ever wonder why we can spend hour after hour reading a book like Harry Potter, or even a book like Muscle and a Shovel, and yet have trouble reading more than one chapter of the Bible? Interesting, isn't it? Did you ever wonder about that? Ask yourself, what's the longest amount of time that you've ever sat and read your Bible at one time? In John 8, 31, 32, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Here's another question for you. What do you enjoy doing? Going shopping, going to concerts, football games. How about a spontaneous weekend getaway? Those are nice, aren't they? Just load up and go. Pretty nice, huh? Have you ever had something sneak up on you that you forgot about? And you have to really scramble to get ready. You know, you had something you're supposed to be at by, you know, 7 o'clock tonight, and it's 6, and you just got home, and oh my, you just remembered, and boy, you have to hustle and hustle to get ready, right? Oh, that's something. Well, it's amazing how crazy we can get as we hurry and get ready to do something we really want to do. Or what about this? We get off work late one evening. We're tired. Or maybe you get out of school on Friday afternoon and you're tired from a week of studies. And you're ready to sit down and you just want to take it easy. And then you get home and you get a phone call. And plans change, and you've got to hurry up and get ready because the family's going out to eat, or we're going to go to a ball game, or we're going to the movies, or we're going somewhere. And buddy, you have to jump up and get ready, even though you hadn't planned on doing that. In Acts 12, King Herod persecuted the church in Jerusalem. He killed the apostle James, John's brother. He arrested Peter with the intent to deal with him after the Passover was ended. But that night, an angel appeared to Peter. In verse 7, beginning Acts chapter 12, "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly!' And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' And so he did. And he said to him, 'Put on your garment and follow me.' So he went out and followed him." And you know the rest of that story. How Peter was released. The church had been praying. He goes to the house. He knocks on the door. The girl opens the door. She thinks it's a ghost. And she's scared and runs back and tells them. And they're all scared. And prayer changes things. It causes things to happen. And that's a great story in itself. But I want you to notice what the angel did. Peter had planned to be in jail all night. That was his plan. "I'm going to be here all night." I'm sure that Paul and Silas, while they're in the Philippian jail, were thinking, "We're going to be here a while. Nowhere to go. Feet and hands locked in the stocks. They're bleeding from the beating they've taken." And so they're singing and praying to God at midnight. So here's Peter sitting there in this jail, and the angel raises him up, knocks the chains off of him, says, "Get up and get dressed. Hurry. We're getting out. This is a jailbreak. We're gone. Get ready quick and let's go." Did you ever wonder why we can adjust our schedules so quickly for things we really want to do, like get out of jail? But we have to know about church events 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time so we can make plans to be there. I know, stings a little bit. But the truth is, we need to wonder about these things. Titus 3:1 says, "Remind the brethren to be ready for every good work." 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17 and 18, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." We need to be ready for every good work. And ready to go quickly. Ready to get involved. Ready to do it. We need to be ready. And that's going to start with an attitude of being ready. So it's just something to think about. Well, what about this one? Has anybody ever asked you for directions? Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, that would be a mistake. Well, maybe, maybe not. But has anybody ever asked you for directions? Well, how about how to work a math problem? Anybody ever? They ask me, they're in trouble. But to ever ask you how to work a math problem, or perhaps, maybe, could you catch me up on this particular TV show? I missed the last episode, and I know you're watching it. Would you tell me what happened on that last episode? So they say, how do you get down to this place? Well, you go down past the corner store. And boy, by the way, they sure have good iced tea down there. You stop in and get you some. But you go on down past the corner store. And anyway, you make a left and you go on down about 2 miles. It's almost like you have a feeling of power when you know something that somebody else doesn't know. And you know what's going on. And so you tell them. In Acts chapter 8, Philip came to the eunuch and asked him. In Acts 8, 31 and also verse 35, Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. In verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. Did you ever wonder why we can share information easily to folks on some things, but we struggle to tell folks how to get to heaven? Did you ever wonder about that? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, 28, Jesus said, whatsoever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Acts 4:13, I cited this passage this morning. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. We should be able to tell somebody how to get to heaven. If they ask us a reason of the hope that is within us, we should be able with meekness and fear to answer their questions. And if we're not able, then we need to get ready. We need to prepare ourselves. Just a few more brief thoughts and then we'll be done. Did you ever wonder why 2 hours is nothing when you go to the movies, but it seems like an eternity listening to Robert preach? Did you ever wonder why you can look up something online or read something in a school book or a magazine and believe it, but then you question and try to reinterpret unpopular scriptures in the Bible? Have you ever wondered why people run to the front row at concerts and sporting events, but do whatever they have to do to sit in the back of the church auditorium? Maybe I should have checked for Rotten Tomatoes before I said that one. Did you ever wonder why people want to get a place in heaven, but they don't want to believe in or obey God? They don't want to have to change or sacrifice what they want or like. They want to be rewarded, but they're not willing to do the work that God has given all men to do. I wonder about these things. I wonder about a lot of things. I wonder what Andy Rooney is thinking now. Andy Rooney died back in 2011 at the age of 92. He was on 60 Minutes for about 30 years that he was on 60 Minutes. He was, let me just say, as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. Andy Rooney was an avowed atheist. He had been honored by the Freedom From Religion Foundation, honored by the ACLU for his work contributing to rational thought in this country. Andy Rooney did not believe in God. He rejected the idea of God, of Christianity, of religion, and of course, the Bible. You know what I'm wondering? I bet Andy Rooney wishes he had wondered a bit more about spiritual things right now. That's what I figure he's doing. Wishing that he had wondered more about spiritual things. One final thought. Did you ever wonder how old you will be when your time comes to die? Since we cannot know, seems like a good idea to get ready and to stay ready for that time, doesn't it? And that is the whole admonition. That's the reason we come to services. We want to get ready. We want to stay ready. Our desire is to worship and serve God. Our desire is to be pleasing to Him, to make the message clear to God that we are His servants, that we want to do what's right because we want to go to heaven. We need to get ready. We need to stay ready. So if you've ever wondered when will your time come, the answer to that question is when God calls, your time has come. My advice, my plea to you is get ready and stay ready for that time. If you're not a Christian, you need to obey the gospel. Believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized for remission of sins. If you're a child of God but you've not been faithful, rededicate your life to God tonight. Whatever we can do to help you, we encourage you to come right now as we stand and sing.